welcome, welcome, welcome to Open Mic Wednesday on this April the 22nd in the year of our Lord 2015. Wait a minute. Open Mic is Friday. Well, it just so happens that this week we have that Share-a-thon Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So today is the last live broadcast this week for Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker, your host. So we're going to make it an open mic a Wednesday, and I'm going to respond to some emails I've received. If you want to phone, just call 821-0850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. And it can be on any theological question on your mind at all. We also want to remind you that I'll be here Thursday and Friday morning for the Share-a-thon. But on a Saturday, even though the Share-a-thon on the radio ends, I think, around noon, we're going to be continuing it at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet, where prophets from my seminar on Law and Gospel will be going to KFUO, as Law and Gospel needs to pay KFUO to be on the air. And so, if you want to, I tell you, I got some great videos. Law and Gospel Seminar, Emmanuel Olivet, 9733 Olive. It's $10 to come in, but you get free refreshments and books are, and many books will be there, plus some new items that we have at reduced prices. So you'll easily get your $10 back. But any profits from that will be going towards our payment toward KFUO. So, if you're unable to make it, you can go to lawandgospel101.com and at the bottom of the page, contribute to KFUO, and we won't have any problems with that at all. But, of course, because of the Share-a-thon, we want to keep you up to date about that. And so we have Mary and Joni, who are coming into the studio right now to talk about the Share-a-thon. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, Share-a-thon is starting this week. We should have a drum roll. We will start it on Thursday morning when we go on the air at 7 o'clock. We'll be here from 7 till 6, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 7 till noon. 12 noon. And we will be very busy people because we believe that a lot of our listeners will be calling in to become partners with KFUO. And how do they do that, Mary?
Well, they can call in anytime during the Share-a-thon at either at my number.
Well, they can actually call on our numbers here in the studio, which will be 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. That will be during Share-a-thon. If you want to call before Share-a-thon, then they can call Mary.
They can call me at 314-996-1518, or they can call Joni.
Very good, Tom. Very good.
Or they can call Joni at 314-996-1512. And you can also give online at kfuo.org. It's really easy. You just go to our website, and there's a button right at the top that says Give Now. And you can click on it, and it'll take you through all the little steps to give. And you can give before Share-a-thon, during Share-a-thon, after Share-a-thon, really at any time. All gifts are very welcome.
And I know that some of our listeners may be saying, why do you have to stop the programming just to have this event? You know, KFUO sends you maybe two mailings, possibly three mailings a year. And other than that, this is our main fundraiser. It takes a lot of money to continue KFUO, the radio station, to continue to proclaim the gospel message. And this station is owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but it is the donors that support this radio station. Our money does not come from the LCMS. Our money comes from the donors. And so we need your help to partner with us to continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, as we have for 90 years. And Mary, can you tell me about some of the premiums that we will be giving this year?
Yes, we have a lot of interesting and fun items this year. If you give at the $120 level, which is $10 a month for 12 months, you'll get a KFUO magnet, which shows the earth listening to a pair of headphones on KFUO.org. If you give at the $240 level, which is $20 a month for 12 months, you will get our very awesome shirt, which is burnt orange.
Burnt orange.
Pumpkin spice orange.
Pumpkin. But probably whatever color you'd like to call it. But it really is, it's not one of those bright oranges that you're going to say, oh my goodness, everybody's going to see me from 50 miles away.
That's no, true. It's not construction orange.
No,
it is.
No.
It's a very nice, a subtle orange.
Have you got my shirt?
I do. I have it with me today,
okay.
Tom.
You know, Louise 3X, so.
Sure, Tom.
So this is a very nice shirt. It's actually a men's button-up Port Authority shirt, so it looks very nice. You could wear this to church. You could wear this around the town. To nice events, as well as around the house if you choose. And it has our KFUO logo on it. So it's a great way to kind of let people know about KFUO without even having to say anything, really. You just wear the shirt and people will see it wherever you go, whether that's around your neighborhood or at your grocery store. It's a great way to actually kind of minister a little bit.
Right, exactly. It has the beautiful logo on it, and we were even surprised at how great the colors went together, because our logo is this deep, deep blue, and on the orange we thought, is that going to work? But it did, and it really looks very nice. And if for some reason you don't want the shirt, we have KFUO t-shirts. We can send you a KFUO t-shirt with Martin Luther on the back of it. And again, you can help us promote KFUO. And then we have the $600 level, Mary?
We do. We have the $600 level, which is $50 a month for 12 months. And at that level, you get a very beautiful Kelly Schumacher reproduction of her work called The Bride of Christ, which depicts Jesus on the cross. And you see below him at the foot of the cross is a bride, or potentially Mary Magdalene, or really almost anyone who's there who's to worship Jesus for what he's done for us. And it's a very beautiful picture. I can't really give it justice describing
right.
it.
And it also has included with it another small poster with a poem that she has written.
Yes, it has the poem that she's written, and it has the Bible verse that inspired her for this work. And she gives a little description as to what went into this painting and how her thought process went and how God helped inspire her to create this beautiful piece. So it's really, really nice.
You'll be receiving a poster, and it's actually been signed by Kelly, mm-hmm. which I think is kind of nice to have the artists themselves sign what you're receiving.
That's very good. And then at the top level, which is our $1,200 level, which is $100 a month for 12 months, you will get this nifty little CD that we've created, which has all of our KFUO broadcast transmissions from the early days, from the 30s and 40s that we had.
Well, not all of them, but
a lot of them.
We shared during our 90th anniversary.
there's a lot on there that you can hear. They're very old archived audios. And it also includes a one-hour special with Reverend Rod Zwanitzer and Dr.
Paul Meyer,
mm-hmm. as they talk about the history of KFUO and how KFUO started and how it developed and how it came to be where it is now. So it's a nice little gift.
Yeah, so and any gift that you give to us, we realize not everyone can give at the higher levels. If you can, thank you. We appreciate it. You help us. But any level you can give at, we thank you for that gift. And remember, we have some matching money up to $25,000. So gifts that are given up to $25,000 will be matched. So that means when we have $25,000, we will actually have $50,000 in the bank because it will have been matched by that $25,000. Mm-hmm. So Tom, are you ready to write your check?
I'm ready to do this.
Well, thank you, Tom, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow as part of Share-a-thon as well.
Yep, I'll be here right on time at 11:30.
Okay, but the rest of us will be here at 7.
Yep.
Oh. That's when I go to bed.
Thank you.
All right, and that's Mary and Joni talking about the Share-a-thon. And as I indicated, we will be here actually at 9 in the morning. And then again on Friday at 9 in the morning with our good friend Pastor Mark Smith. We're making this an open mic Wednesday, so if any of you would like to call, let me give you out the numbers again. 821-0850. And 1-800-730-2727. And what we're talking about is any theological question on your mind at all, you can call in, because this is our last live broadcast of Law and Gospel this week. We'll be back Monday, God willing, with a wonderful description of the text for the coming Sunday. Let's take a look at an email. This is from Bill. And he was talking about the 23rd Psalm that we had spoken about, particularly with Pastor Mark Smith on Tuesday, making the point that God leads us beside still waters in order that the raging waters the sheep would drown in. So here's what Bill says. He says that his father was a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for over 50 years in Iowa and Ohio, and he also grew up on a farm. And therefore, his explanation is different than what we had given, and I'd like to share that. It says, verse 2, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." It does not say, Bill says, that he leadeth me to still waters. Now, here's what the explanation is. We would both agree that sheep are not considered very smart and would most likely drown if they fell into the water. My father's explanation is that the reason that he leadeth me beside still waters is that to a sheep, still waters are still dangerous, since they do not recognize anything significant about the waters as they are near it and might just go in. On the other hand, if the water is moving, there is a motion that makes the sheep aware of something different than the path and would be somewhat wary of it. I have always felt that made a lot of sense to me, thought it worth sharing with you. And so we thank Bill with his father's explanation. And as I indicate, I think that's a pretty good explanation. I'm not an expert on sheep. I'd have to talk to them, but it seems to me that the one I was taught, namely that raging waters would pull the sheep under, I guess that's also true about still waters. If they went in it, you know, water is water. Whether it's raging or whether it's still, it would still take their wool and drag them under. So the Lord leads us beside still waters. It's kind of an interesting interpretation, and we have a kind of point in Lutheran theology that you can have different understandings of Bible verses if it doesn't contradict other Bible verses. So I appreciate Bill with that insight from his father. Now, he also talks about that we had said that, it took Noah 100 years to make the ark. And he indicated that he wasn't quite sure that was correct. And so I do want to respond to that. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? It's Genesis 6:3 that we're talking about. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, this, in the minds of some, is actually a countdown to the flood. That in 120 years from the time the Lord said that was the drop-dead rate for mankind, who is, of course, a mortal being. So 120 years would be the absolute time to build the ark. Now, what happens is that if you take a look at the context, and this is why some say it didn't take Noah that long to build the ark, is that when God said it would be 120 years when mankind would be drowned, it was later that he made a covenant with Noah to save him, his sons, and their wives, and also representatives from the animals. That's Genesis 6, 9 to 22. So some would suggest we don't really know how long it took Noah and his sons to build the ark, but we do know, and this is part of the reason why it was not 120 years, that all three sons were alive and already had wives when construction was started. And that Shem was 98 years old when the flood occurred. So there are those who would therefore suggest that the 120 years isn't when God started Noah building the ark, but it took place some years later. And there's various charts, etc. For example, after the 120 years, 100 years yet to go was when Noah had the first of his sons when he was 500 years old. And he had Shem 2 years later. And so Shem was 100 years old 2 years after the flood. And there's Bible verses to show all this. So I appreciate that. It's a little different insight. And since the Bible doesn't give the exact number of years, folks who take a look at it from this point of view believe it took Noah some 20 or 30 years to build the ark. So I appreciate that point. 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let me deal with another email. Now, this one really was in connection with what I had said on a Sunday school program on issues, etc. You know, I'm usually on there. Normally, Mondays around 4:15, and depending on their schedule, sometime Tuesday or Wednesday. But I had made the point that when Peter was drowning, when Jesus told him to walk on the water and come to him, that therefore when he called, "Lord, help me," he was actually thinking also about salvation was going through his mind, not just help from being drowned. And my reasoning for that is because in those days, the sea was the abode of the devil. And you remember Poseidon, you got Neptune. Therefore, there's no doubt when Jesus was able to calm the raging sea, this showed significantly his theological power over the devil. Now, this particular writer on the email, Brad, says that he doesn't think that the context permits going so far to say that Peter was pleading for salvation, not just being saved from being drowned. And once more, we go back to the idea that unless you have a Bible verse that contradicts a notion, or you have a Bible verse that upholds the notion. For example, some people may say, well, the serpent in the wilderness really wasn't the devil. Well, see, that's not an option in light of Revelation, where it refers to the serpent as Satan himself. So where Scripture interprets Scripture, you're not allowed to say something. But in this particular context, where Scripture is not that clear, you see, he does use the word save in the original Greek that does refer to salvation, but it also can refer to being healed of a disease. And so the person could be making the point that salvation or being healed is correct. So I'm not going to make a big deal out about that. We as pastors, if we're going to say this is what this verse means, we better have another verse to back it up. So I still think that the whole view of salvation was involved because this was the Lord. He was walking on the water. He began to sink when he looked at other things. And so from that point of view, I want to make that point that that's what I still believe. But that's a personal opinion. It is not a pastoral faith. We always like to make a distinction on Law and Gospel between my personal opinions in contrast to what I as a pastor would say. And if I say it as a pastor, I better have Scripture interpreting Scripture backing it up. No doubt about that. Now, we do know even at that time that the disciples had a difficulty with what salvation was. Being in Judaism, which was a different form of the Israeli religion, one can understand why they may not completely understand full salvation by grace, because they were being taught that it was by your works. Remember the Pharisee? Thank God I'm not like that other guy. Now, why does he thank God that he's not like the tax collector? Because he tithes, because he fasts, and he kind of looks at the ceremonial laws. We have there a kind of a good example of early Mormonism, because Mormons today believe in the ceremonial laws as a way of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it's something that's kind of difficult for them to understand that you're saved by grace. In our Bible study yesterday, we had one of the members there talk about an incident where her relatives, who are Christian, got kind of angry at her when she pointed out that there was nothing they could do to be saved. And they were astonished at that because they said, well, don't you even have to invite Christ into your heart? And of course, they just didn't understand that an unbeliever cannot be inviting Christ into their heart because they are an unbeliever. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to invite him into the heart would mean they would have to believe it. If you have a question on any theological nature, this is our last opportunity this week to be live. It's 821-0850. That's the phone number in St. Louis. Or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. And I do want to underscore that even though the Share-a-thon ends Saturday officially here on the radio at 1 o'clock to 4:30, we will have a seminar. So the Share-a-thon ends at noon Saturday, but the seminar at Emmanuel Olivet will continue from 1 to 4:30, and profits will go to KFUO to help support the program Law and Gospel. We've got some great videos. We're also going to be dealing with what does a person do who he has a friend who's in the gay lifestyle? How do we approach that person? Do we use the law? Do we use the gospel? What form of the law do we use? What form of the gospel? These kinds of things. So if you're at all available, then please, Saturday, cost is $10, but there's free refreshments. Books are at a reduced cost, and we'd love to have you join us then, if at all possible. That's Saturday, 1 to 4:30 p.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, Missouri, 9733 Olive Boulevard. It's just a little east off on Olive, off of Lindbergh. So you can either take 270 east past Lindbergh, or if you're on Lindbergh, just turn east and be kind of going over there. We'd love to talk to you, and we're going to have some great videos, as I indicated. That evening, by the way, at 5 o'clock, there's a worship service, and I will be doing the worship service at Emmanuel Olivet at 5 o'clock, somewhat on the basis of our Law and Gospel seminar. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Bill. Bill, you're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
What are the elements that should be included in ordinary church service? I've been to some that all they had is a few hymns and a lecture, and I don't think that's the way. What should be included in church service?
Well, I would say that you need to prepare yourself to enter into the presence of God, and the way that is done is the way John the Baptizer teaches us. So you'd want to remind people of their baptismal covenant, and so you open the service in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then move immediately to a confession of sins and an absolution. In fact, there's a word used in the worship service, introit, which means to enter, and after the confession of sins and the absolution, the pastor moves closer to the altar and brings the whole congregation with him, because we are now worthy to be in the presence of God, at which time we sing praises to him. There should be Bible readings. There should be a sermon on the basis of one of those Bible readings. And in some worship services, it would end with prayer, but a lot of times you'd have the Lord's Supper. And so those would be the significant portions of the sermon, including also a baptism, if available. You have any comments to that, Bill?
Yeah, I've been attending some because there doesn't seem to be a LCMS church anywhere nearby. And I've gone to some of the others, and I knew something was missing, but I didn't know what.
Yes, a lot of people don't understand that we need to approach God worthily, and we do that by repenting of our sins and having our sins absolved. And therefore, the whole service should be focused on Jesus. The parts of the liturgy certainly are in a traditional Lutheran worship service, as well as the sermon certainly needs to be. And, of course, the Lord's Supper is nothing but the body and blood of Jesus. So I appreciate your call, Bill, and those are the kinds of things that should be, in my opinion, part of a worship service. You can have a Matins, you can have a Vespers, you can have a regular divine service with or without communion. But there's no doubt, if you're interested in seeing and you're not a member of a congregation, then the worship service that is held at Emmanuel Olivet this coming Saturday night, where I am preaching, will definitely have these elements that I spoke about. It doesn't have communion. It's a non-communion Sunday, but it will have the rest of the elements for your enjoyment and for your growing in grace. As I said, Share-a-thon next 2 days. So next time we're live as Law and Gospel will be on Monday as we look at a hymn for the coming Sunday. But we really encourage you, if you're at all able to do so, to attend the seminar at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, Missouri, 9733 Olive Boulevard at 1 to 4:30 p.m. this coming Saturday. I'm Tom Baker. Till Monday, when we return live, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.